Good afternoon, Effingham, and thank you for listening in today. My name is Tommy Morgan, alongside my co-host, Frank Norris. We are broadcasting to you from the magnificent Stillwell Pines event venue just outside of Springfield. If you are looking for a venue to host your next event, you can find them on the web at www.stillwellpines.com. Look up their Facebook page, Stillwell Events Venue, or give them a call at 912-665-2631 for a personal tour. This show is coming on the heels of our first ever Effingham Navigator Lighted Christmas Parade. Our guests today are Effingham County District 2 Commissioner Roger Burdett, Effingham County Manager Tim Callanan, Worshipful Master of Springfield Masonic Lodge 440 Will Morgan, and Andy Hudson. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Let's get to it with Commissioner Burdett. Commissioner Burdett, thank you for coming on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with you telling us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a Georgia native, born and raised in South Georgia. I've been here most of my life except for the military. I was kind of a wayward kid, actually, and not a lot of people know this, but I was a high school dropout and seemed to find myself in trouble and just my priorities weren't straight, and went into the Navy. And that helped me a lot, which I needed at the time. Growing up in a rural area, you know, we didn't have a lot. My dad was a truck driver. My mom later got a degree and was an RN. She was a nurse and had a better life after that, obviously. But great parents, you know, great upbringing. I was just hard-headed, is a good way to put it. But anyway, got out of the military. Did 4 years in the Navy, which I enjoyed. Really started getting my act together. Got out, and of course, being and taking the track that I'd taken early on, I valued education in a big way. So I went back to college. Wasn't really sure I could do it at the time. Didn't have the confidence to do it, but really dug in and went to Valdosta State College and got my degree in 2.5 years. Really started digging in. And after college, first job was in transportation, which my dad was a truck driver, kind of followed along with what he was doing. And later got my master's degree from Mercer. I think somebody around the table has a Mercer grad as well. So I really value education a lot. And I say that and I tell that story, and hopefully there's some kids out there that may have found that path for themselves, and it's not it for them. You know, there's other ways to get an education and make that a valuable part of your life. But I've got a great family. I've got older children. I've got 4 grandchildren, and I've got 4 children. I've got 2 younger ones here that were raised right here in Effingham County that are in high school right now in the school system, which is still a great school system, and hopefully all always will be. I know by talking with Dr. Ford, they're going to ensure that it is. They put the rules and regulations in place where we can maintain that rural atmosphere, but at the same time have great kids and a great school with a great teaching system. But, you know, fast forward, I've been an entrepreneur since, 2001 now. I've had several different businesses. I've had 3 or 4 here in Effingham County over the years. Been here 23 years now. I love it. My church brought me here. My business brought me here. And just everybody was really welcoming to me here. And, of course, I'm still in Georgia, so a Georgia boy at heart. But everybody was just so nice. It was such a great place to come and live. I just wanted to be here. My church was here, my business was here, and I was living at Pooler at the time. So I moved over here and have been here ever since. So that's kind of me in a nutshell, but still currently I'm an entrepreneur and have a business here which generates jobs. I'm really a firm believer in generating some good jobs. I'm still doing that today and hopefully be able to continue to do so.
I got a quick question for you.
Yes, sir.
I'm just curious. What did you master in at Mercer?
I was an MBA, master's in business.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Cool. I didn't realize you had mastered at Mercer.
Yeah, it's
a beautiful school.
It's an awesome school.
Yeah, it is an awesome school.
I enjoyed it.
So what interested you to run for county commissioner?
That kind of leads into enjoying the county so much and to, you know, the way I was treated. Wesley Corbett, who was is the outgoing chairman right now. I'm going to miss that guy. Asked me to fill in for Vera Jones. Vera Jones had moved and under our current ordinances, if you have to live in the district that you represent. So,
right.
I never thought about being into politics. I love to serve in different ways. I serve at my church. I serve this morning. He asked me to take a look at it and consider it and pray about it and, you know, where I could have an impact. I didn't know a lot about politics. I'm still not your average politician. I'm just not political. You know, I don't think I ever will be. But being asked to do that, I thought about it, and I kept thinking back to how everybody treated me here and made me a part of this community, and it was a great way to do some give back there. So that's what led me to do that. Subsequently, I was elected that same year and then went up for re-election and was re-elected. So this will be, I'll have 8 years, a little over 8 years in when I finish this term.
And, you know, I think giving back could probably be the best reason ever to want to run for office.
Absolutely.
Now, being a family man, business owner, and a commissioner, how do you balance day-to-day life?
That's a tough one. The reason being is because I still have a small business. It's not a large business, so I'm heavily involved every day. It is really, really hard to balance everything. The county's growing, as everybody knows, and it demands more and more time, more and more boots on the ground, more and more growth within our staff, and we just have a fantastic staff. I know Tim's here today. I don't want to blow his head up too much, but he's a godsend to this county, you know, and works his butt off. Like, we get emails at midnight, and you know, just the guy never stops. You know, as far as getting the balance right, you know, between family and my business and the commission, you know, I just have to stop what I'm doing and function and serve Effingham County whenever it's necessary. You know, just, and that, frankly, it takes away from my business by doing that. You know, if I put wherever you focus your time on, it's going to expand.
Right.
You know, that's just natural law that we have. And when I take focus off the business, it suffers somewhat. But you know, I feel so strongly about serving this county and serving the people in this county. You know, it's definitely worth it.
A selfless sacrifice for the better of all.
Yeah, I would say something like that. I don't know if it's selfless. I don't want to blow myself up to be something, you know. But I just enjoyed serving, and you know, being a commissioner is tough. A lot of hard decisions to be made.
And the phone never stops ringing.
Phone doesn't stop. We get, you know, everything from they forgot to pick up my trash to somebody just wants to yell at us here and there. it's a tough job, but I really, really enjoy the serving part. I think it works where God wants me to be. You know, last time I ran, I just left it up to prayer and God. I said, Lord, if you want me to be here, I'll be here, and I'll do my best. And then so He put me here again.
How is the county enhancing communication to constituents?
Oh, yeah, that's a big one for me. We've been working on this for quite a number of years, trying to figure out how to have better communication with everybody. That's probably one of the biggest issues that we have. And not that we don't communicate, it's just how do you communicate in so many different ways where everybody actually gets that information and understands what we're doing. And we do so much work behind the scenes at retreats and on a daily basis, like I say, the boots on the ground stuff where we're working with individual constituents even. It's a huge task.
Now,
sorry, I kind of lost my train of thought.
No, that's okay. This is probably another difficult question too, or not a difficult question, but...
Oh, the communications. I'm sorry. Let me get back to that
Okay.
quick. Communications-wise, we put on Mark Lastinger. He's a great copy guy because we saw the need to have somebody that was communicating constantly.
Yeah.
So that was our first move. Now we've got another gentleman, Tim,
Jake Ziegler.
Yes, I've talked to him
on the video side and some other ones. So we're really trying to get things out. Audio, video, copy, social media, everywhere with all the things we're doing. Because everybody picked it up different ways. Some people like to watch videos, some people are going to watch audio, some people are going to read the newspaper, whatever that may be. But we've got to get it out in multiple medias, multiple mediums. And I think we'll reach as many as we possibly can, you know, by doing that. So it's been a real big push the last few years.
And I think y'all do a great job doing that.
Thank you. We want to get better, and we can get better.
So how do you balance growth and infrastructure and other issues?
Growth is always a hot topic. The infrastructure, you know, I can't talk about infrastructure without talking about T-Splost. T-Splost is definitely a godsend for this county. I got to give the constituents, the taxpayers, the credit for that. They voted it in. One reason why I love T-Splost so much is everybody who comes through Effingham County and spends any money here contributes to T-Splost, whether they live here or not. So if they're using our infrastructure, they're contributing to that infrastructure. They just stop and buy a soda or whatever. So everybody, not just taxpayers here, contributes to that T-Splost fund. Second thing I like about it is you can't earmark it for anything. It has to be used for infrastructure and transportation. So that's a great thing about T-Splost. But as of the last couple of years, we started tying growth to infrastructure, asking that developers would wait or pause or tie it to certain roads being done, like Effingham Parkway and other ones, because we know how important that is to get people commuting in and out of the county and all over the county. So the balance of that has to be there.
Yeah.
But we also got to be careful we don't get away ahead of ourselves. We've seen other counties build roads, and frankly, the roads didn't get used like they anticipated and had to go back and spend another $1.5 million to fix the road because they didn't. The traffic patterns were just different than the original engineering ideas.
Yeah.
So if you get too far ahead of yourself in infrastructure, you might build something that's just not used like you thought it was going to be, and that's a waste of taxpayer funds. So there is a great balance we've got to watch as we're going down this highway, if you will, to make sure the balance is there and make sure those traffic patterns that we anticipate is going to happen does happen. So the last thing you want is a brand new, beautiful road and nobody's using it.
Yeah.
So you kind of got to time it out in certain ways like that so you don't spend money unwisely.
What's the biggest accomplishment to date you've contributed as a commissioner?
I would say there is not one. There's not, because no matter whose idea it is, it could be staff, it could be another commissioner, it could be my idea. And even if I think I've had a great idea, somebody comes along with something to add to that to make it even a better idea. So I can't take credit for anything. I mean, it's a teamwork type of thing. We've got an excellent board, a lot of great people on board. We've got a great staff we're constantly building that are bringing us ideas as well. So it really is a team effort from a board perspective. We don't always agree on everything, and we should, you know, because we're all different. We all contribute in certain ways. We all have our specialties. But there's been a lot of great things. You know, just being able to take this the way of our county government from administrator. I know what administrator government is. Is basically the board is still in charge. Yeah. So if you've got a county administrator, they're not empowered to actually do their job. And that's been a hard issue with us for many, many years as a county. So even though we may have some great administrators, people would circumvent the administrator and go straight to the board and try to get stuff done. And that's hard to do. Then the administrator can't do his job. He's not empowered to do his job. So we got together and started analyzing the county manager position versus administrator. So we changed our form of government by doing that. That way you're able to not only empower that county manager to actually do his job,
right,
be accountable and be empowered to build his staff as he sees fit. Sorry, it's been a long day.
No, you're fine.
Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
We were talking about your
the accomplishments. Yeah. But anyway, the county manager, it also enabled us to attract better people.
Yeah.
Because administrators knew what they were getting into. So we were able to get somebody like Tim Callahan on board, and thankfully we've had him ever since. But I don't think that would be something he'd be interested in as an administrator because he knows how it operates.
Yes.
It's just a really hard way to manage a county. Wow. That's one of the things, you know. McCall Park was a big thing I enjoyed doing. Anything I can do to enhance the public, you know, in some way that especially around kids, anything, our next generation. If I can have any influence on that, I'll love that because that's our future. You know, that's a big thing for me. Well, we've done a lot of good things, but there, you know, there, like I say, there's, it's not something I can take a lot of credit for. It's always a board effort and a county effort and a staff effort.
Awesome. Now the million-dollar question: will you be seeking another term?
You know, I'm gonna leave that up to the Lord. I'll pray about it again when it comes around and see where the Lord leads on that. If He wants me in that seat, I'll give 100%. And if He has other things for me and other plans for me, I'll do something different. But and it's up to the people as well. And
well,
hopefully I'm doing a good enough job that if I did seek that, it would happen. But I do enjoy serving.
Well, we hope you consider when the time comes. Commissioner Burdett, thank you for coming in today. It's always a pleasure to see you, and thank you for all you do.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now on to our County Manager, Tim Callanan. Tim, thank you so much for being here today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks for setting this up. It's a wonderful avenue to get information out to folks.
We hope so. Thank you. Can you give us some background on yourself?
Sure. It's a little bit of a long story, but I'll try and truncate it down a little bit. I grew up in a small town in actually northern New Jersey. My grandparents were all immigrants, and my dad was the first one to go to school, got a job in New York City, settled us out in kind of a suburban area, and he got involved in public service right away. I was the youngest of six kids.
Wow.
So he was involved on the planning board for when I was really little, then got elected to the city council and deputy mayor, and since I was the youngest, you know, he would use me essentially as a prop on the campaign trail. So, you know, they'd bring you know, cute little Timmy around with them, and he would always take pictures of me. You know, they'd always be pictures of me and him, and so he would bring me to all these events, and I would remember him. I was only, you know, 5 or 6 years old. And when he was on council, he would, you know, kind of sit me out in the audience, and, you know, I would just sit there and watch him. I was just fascinated by the whole thing. And so I really think, you know, I know it was his involvement, his desire to constantly give back, and, you know, not just for government, but it was also, you know, on church council in our church growing up. And that really got me, you know, hooked on the, you know, the public service bug, you know, where I've got to contribute. Didn't really look at it as a career. You know, we grew up in kind of a Wall Street commuting town. And so that's where I saw everybody doing stuff. And
yeah.
I took a field trip one day, and I saw, you know, two guys on a trading floor yelling at each other. And I said to myself, wow, I really want to do that. That looks cool. And, you know, I went to graduated high school, went to a kind of a small Catholic college north of New York City. Got out of school, got a job as a trader's assistant, then a trader, and ended up getting the position that I wanted to, where you're in that room, you know, just kind of yelling at each other and you know, trading. We were trading mortgage bonds. And when you got there, you all of a sudden you realize, you know, this isn't all it's cracked up to be.
Yeah.
And so I kind of reached that point in my life where I'm like, this is a wonderful job, but, you know, I can make a career out of it. But, you know, is this really where I want to be? And I just felt something pulling me. My brother-in-law had worked for the DEA, got transferred to Charleston, South Carolina. We went to go visit him on a vacation. And on the 16-hour drive home, my wife and I made the decision, you know, we're still young enough to make this move. You know, we came up with a plan to, we put some money aside, sell everything, quit our jobs, and you know we and go down there and you know and risk it. We just figured we'd be smart enough. We had some, we had a little bit of a nest egg to cushion to survive. Yeah. It was cheaper to live down there at the time, and we made that move. And I, one thing I will remember is, you know, prior to leaving, you know, my boss, who was the greatest boss I've ever ever worked for, no offense. his name was Timmy O'Brien, and you know, he took me aside and he said, you know, I know you've, you know, because of mergers, you lost some of your customers, and you know, we really like having you here, and you know, we're starting this new trading desk where we're going to be trading government bonds at the mortgage desk, and I want you to run it. And it would have been double my pay easily. And then I kind of went home and I thought about it, and I said, you know what? It's not about the money. You know, it's about making the move and doing what God feels like you're pulling you to do. And I said, thank you. I love working here. And when I left, you know, they all gave me a standing ovation. And I say that because I used to work for Cantor Fitzgerald at the 105th floor of the World Trade Center. And about a year and a half later, you know, that entire group of people would no longer with us. And
yes.
And if God had not pulled me, you know, I would have been there with him. I had every reason to stay. And that's kind of, you know, it's follow your heart, but you're really, your heart is being pushed by, you know, by the Lord. And so he's telling me what I need to do. And I followed it and, worked for home builders for a long time, when I was in Charleston. And then that bug never left me at public service, and I got elected to public office as a county councilman, which is like a board of commissioner down here, for a very large county, about 200,000 people.
Oh, wow.
Because of the way that government was set up, you know, it was one of those governments where it was a divided council where, you know, this guy had his votes, and I was not one of them. And so no information was shared to us, so you had to learn everything yourself.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I learned learned government budgeting. I learned everything, you know, because it wasn't provided to me, which was actually a good thing. And then when there was a change in elections, administration, the new gentleman that had gotten elected, you know, originally had asked someone else to be his finance director, deputy administrator, and that person had turned him down. And he was sitting in there watching everything and said, you know, there's nobody who knows a budget better than you. You know better than staff. And so he asked me to join, and it was a pay cut. But I'm like, when you get an opportunity to really do something, you know, that you love and get paid for it, and that's when I made the move. But as elections turn, so does your fortune. And so
yes.
4 years later, that individual got voted out, and they made it clear they wanted me out, and they made moves to get me out. And so that's what brought me to Effingham, an opportunity. And it was a very similar situation, right? You had a major, very large county in a region that had a port, and then you were on the outskirts of that, and you were starting to see the pressures of growth because of that. And so Charleston and Savannah are very similar that way, and Charleston and Berkeley County, where I was, and Chatham and Effingham. So it was a similar situation. I just love working for this county, and I've worked for a great board, and it's all been a wonderful experience.
Well, I'm gonna tell you, we love having you here, and hearing that story just tells me a lot about you. You were exposed to public service at an early age, and mm-hmm. it seems like you've carried that passion in your heart all the way up until this day.
Absolutely. You know, if you can get a job doing what you love, you never work another day in your life.
Exactly. Right. I hear that all the time.
And that's really what I'm experiencing.
That's amazing. Amazing. Effingham County is one of the fastest growing counties in the state. Can you give us some numbers on our growth rate compared to surrounding counties?
Yeah, and you know, this is a fascinating thing, and we did some town halls about a year and a half ago, mm-hmm. where, you know, there's this kind of this perception that Effingham is just, you know, has really, you know, jolted up. But the interesting thing about Effingham is we've been growing at the same rate for the last 10 years. And, you know, it's about 2,000 new residents, according to the census. That's not household, that's total residents right. per year. And it's been fairly steady, and it stayed steady even these last few years. Other counties like Bryan is certainly growing at probably double that rate, yes. but mostly southern Bryan County, Richmond Hill area. Although now you're starting to see a lot of interest residentially in the northern Bryan area. But Chatham County is growing. They have a lot of more approved homes in those two counties than we have. But you know, the interesting thing about the growth numbers for Effingham is we get this report from the school district every year, right? Because every time a new student comes in, they have to tell you where they came from, right? Because their transcripts have to be transferred over. And by far, if you were to add up, you know, every other state where folks would move in combined and anywhere else, it would not add up to how many people come from Chatham County to Effingham County every year. That is, by far, nothing is even close, our largest source of new residents. Are folks making that move. Now the difficulty about that is they're coming from Chatham, they work in Chatham, and then they come here, and then they work in Chatham. And so it's making that traffic pattern problem that we have worse. But that is really the source of growth for us, is predominantly folks moving to Chatham. It's mostly about the school system, the safety, the recreation, all that kind of stuff that Effingham, you know, it checks all those boxes. So
it's what families are looking for. Yeah, absolutely. So at that rate, obviously the obstacles tend to increase. How does the county keep up and is able to maneuver around the obstacles as fluently as we do?
Right, and so, I mean, it's multiple things, right? It's not just, roads is probably the biggest one, right? But that's certainly not the only one for us. Obviously, it's roads, water, sewer, it's expanding services, recreation, emergency medical services, fire, that sort of thing. But on roads, you know, that and any one of our facilities, it was a challenge because, well, I started working here in 2019, you know, it was long past when the recession, Great Recession, was. Mm-hmm. We were still suffering financially from the Great Recession. Our revenues were still lower than what they were 10 years ago, and that doesn't even account for the amount of growth we had in that time. And of course, the board, you know, people are struggling. You know, so you don't make up for that by raising people's property taxes. And so a lot of maintenance got deferred. And so we had kind of dug ourselves this hole in roads and buildings and parks and any sort of infrastructure, IT infrastructure, that we had to dig out of first, yeah. right? And so the way, you know, we came up with one of the first things we did was, and the board was very supportive of this, is we had no plans, right? So we did master plans for everything and say we know where our growth is going because we've had the same growth rate for 10 years, right? Yeah. So we can easily predict where we're going to be in the future growth-wise, and so where do we need to be transportation-wise, solid waste, water and sewer, facilities, parks and recreation. We did master plans for all of those. And once we had those plans in place, we can say, all right, how are we gonna implement this, right? One thing we realized, and which is why we suffered so badly, and I know we're gonna talk about finances later, was because our digest, our property tax digest, and our revenue was so heavily concentrated on residential that it made it very difficult for us to, you know, when you had a recession, particularly residential recession, you know, to really do anything. So we had to diversify that digest. We knew that. You know, that's one of the reasons why you saw, you know, some of the sort of growth that we had in the industrial sector is because we need it.
Yeah.
You know, we, you know, every new home, if you include schools, and this, we just got this report last week from Georgia Tech, for every dollar they pay in property taxes, we have to provide $1.30 worth of services.
Wow.
And that's on average. And so, but, you know, on the industrial side, for every dollar they pay in property taxes, we only have to provide 28 cents worth of services.
Really?
And so, wow. And so by, you know, shifting our balance or rebalancing our property digest to get more industrial and commercial properties in there, it allowed us to do what we're doing now when it comes to infrastructure without having to raise taxes. Matter of fact, we've lowered taxes, property taxes over the last, you know, every year for the last 4 or 5 years, and not, you know, any of the counties or cities have not done that, right? Effingham County kind of stands out there, that we have been able to do it, lower it beyond, you know, what the rollback would be required.
Right.
And on top of that, have enough money to, you know, to fund these infrastructure improvements that we need to get done. And we're getting caught up. And we're making the expansions we need to respond to growth.
Awesome. So what do you think would be the greatest obstacle that y'all run into currently with growth?
Well, I mean, it's, you know, you know, there's this perception that we can just simply hit the stop button, right? And you really can't. I mean, it's, people, you know, they have constitutional rights, property rights are a key component of that. And so, but where local government can step in is how that growth materializes, the quality of it, where it goes, and try and do a better job of guiding it. That's, you know, one of the things that when you do that by your zoning code, and so what your requirements are, that if you want to come into this county and you want to develop, you own a piece of property, you want to develop it, you know, this is what Effingham County requires. And so that's how we've been trying to respond to that. And I understand that you put a development anywhere, you're going to get folks who object to it, right?
Yeah.
They wanted that property across the street from to remain undeveloped. You know, someone developed the property they live on, the subdivision they live in, but, you know, when someone wants to do it next door, you know, there's some resistance to that. But our job is to kind of step in there. Yes, we respect this individual's property rights, his rights to develop the property, just like the neighboring properties have been developed, but here are the guidelines, and that's
right.
And that's the struggle. And so we didn't want to do that in a vacuum. We did look at what the best practices were for the counties around us, and came up with new ordinances to affect that. But we also wanted to get the public's perception on that, and so that's this new, we created a kind of a steering committee to review those ordinances.
Yes.
And they're made up of anyone. We reached out to the individual commissioners and said, who do you think really can provide some valuable input here?
Yes.
But then we reached out to the public in general and said, hey, you know, if you want to get involved in this, submit your name. And so I think nearly all of everyone who submitted, we put on that committee because we didn't want it to get too big.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're starting to meet next week, and so that we can get that feedback from folks. And I think that's the way you should do it.
I think it's a total of 15.
Yeah, it's a total of 15. But we wanted to keep it at about 12.
Yeah.
But our view is that, you know, probably at these meetings, that's probably what you'll get, because you won't get everybody showing up for every meeting. So
right.
You'll still get that. You'll still keep it around a dozen people.
Yeah, perfect. So, well, we know Effingham is known for being a safe county with the best schools in the area. To be able to continue to have both as a sound investment, with growth comes more spending. Commissioner DeLoach touched on this. But what is the shape of the current financial situation of the county?
And, you know, this is the other thing that's been great. We've been able to kind of dig out of this hole and improve our financial position, and which we need to do because, you know, the cost of roads and all this infrastructure we want to do, we know it's going to be higher than what we originally budgeted for in SPLOS and T-SPLOS.
Yeah.
We probably have the strongest fund balance position that the county has ever had. We just got upgraded twice on our bond rating, which kind of looks at your overall picture, mm-hmm. of what your county's financial both where you stand, you know, budget wise, but also where you stand growth wise, right? Because you need that growth in order to keep your financial health going.
Yeah.
So financially, our budget is strong. We have a fund balance policy where we have to keep a certain amount of funds available based on what our following year's expenditures are. I think we're double that. And you will continue to see, we think you'll continue to see that healthy growth, even though the new residents required additional services, we're going to be able to meet those obligations and keep our financial house in order.
And what is the biggest misconception about the county budget with the public? What do you think their biggest misconception is?
Well, I think folks, you know, generally think, you know, because you look at the federal government, the amount of waste and inefficiency that is involved in that, I think folks think that translates down to the local governments as well. Mm-hmm. And it does to some local governments, don't get me wrong. I mean, I look at some of these large cities and I just shake my head at, you know, how much waste there is. But I will say that Effingham County runs a very tight ship financially. And that is because one of the last things I wanted, the most expensive thing you can do, the thing that we spend a largest portion of our budget on overall, obviously, mm-hmm. is personnel, right?
Yeah.
And so before we hire create a new position, and we have to, right, to respond to the growth, you know, we want to make sure that is the right investment. And so we look very carefully on these new hires. And I think if you looked at the, on average, I know this, you know, how much the government spends per capita, local government spends per capita, we're certainly lower than our peers, but we're actually lower than what we were 8 or 9 years ago. You look at those numbers to know whether or not you're not just growing, but government's growing and it's becoming a bloated bureaucracy and where you just keep hiring and spending money, but you got to make sure that you're not just being effective, but you're being efficient at the same time. And you know, it this bloated bureaucracy of government, it is not what's actually materializes in Effingham County. We run a very efficient but I don't want to drive my employees to the point where they're overworked and
right,
you know, where we're driving them off. We retain our employees and we recruit great employees, so you
that's
know
amazing.
We're doing a pretty good job on that.
Awesome. Well, considering the exponential growth due to the Hyundai plant, how's our current infrastructure and what's being done to facilitate the needs?
Well, I can say, the first step we're doing is we want to get everything up to a state of good or better.
Yeah.
Right. And so, with roads, there's actually a score that we give any one of our roads. Right. And if you would have looked at us 5 years ago, those scores for majority of our roads would be dismal. And because of T-Splost, which took enormous amount of pressure off of property taxes to fund infrastructure, I would say by this time next year, probably about like 80% of our roads would be in good or better. Some of the bigger headaches, some of the larger arteries, collector roads like Blue Jay and McCall, Courthouse, Old River Road, they will be, not within 1 year, within 6 months, you will see them, all be resurfaced. We've really hit our bad roads in our neighborhoods hard and make sure that we got those resurfacing done. So we'll get this caught up part done, right? But then we've got to, that's just kind of
catching up.
Catching up.
Right.
Then you got to move the boat forward and making sure that you're responding to growth. Effingham Parkway, I don't think people realize the effect that will have on commuter patterns, because we've got a lot of north-south roads. We've got Hodgeville, we've got 21, we've got Old Augusta, we've got Midland, but the problem is they all feed to one road, which is 30.
Yep.
And so having Effingham Parkway, which gives you that straight route with not many intersections, about four intersections, all the way down to Jimmy DeLoach, makes a huge difference.
Oh, definitely.
And so
I'm looking forward to that.
And also the, one nice thing about Hyundai as well is where it's located, right? Right now, there's one manufacturer that really affects our traffic on a daily basis more than anybody else, and that's Gulfstream. Yeah. Right, everybody's traveling to Gulfstream, and I know this because on Friday, of course, Gulfstream, that's generally when they have the more flexible schedules, people are off. We don't have the problems that we have on Monday to Thursday. With Hyundai, it changes the traffic pattern completely, right? It gets people hopefully off of 21 and onto 17 and Sand Hill down to 80. And so we're going to be responding to that, trying to get ahead of that. But it hopefully will take pressure off. Plus, if we create more jobs in the county, less people have to commute out of the county.
Exactly.
As much as logistics plays a huge role. I know it's every individual announcement is not an enormous amount of jobs, but when you add them all up, several thousand jobs that are no longer having to commute out of the county. Saywan obviously is 400, 500 jobs when it's fully operational. So it's gonna make a big difference.
Well, with the families moving into Effingham, we see parks and recreation development is increasing to accommodate those needs in the county.
Right.
What were some interests of recreation in the community that were a focus to add to what we currently have?
Yeah, so we're currently using the Clarence E. Morgan Park as our standard to how we want every one of our parks to be built like, right? So our second one was McCall Park, which Commissioner Burdett brought up, which was really just a sand lot that we brought up to that standard, added basketball, a dog park, a beautiful playground, We're actually adding lighting to the baseball field out there as well. Paved parking was a key one. So, but that opened our eyes up, that and the master plan that we did in Park Recreation as to, you know, where the demands were, right? One of the two things that you see, obviously, or three things on that, you get a ton of people on the playground, you get a ton of people on the basketball court, and you got to get a ton of people using that walking trail.
Yeah.
And so when we did our master plan, we asked folks, what do they want to see more of? And we knew there was a shortage of multi-purpose fields for soccer and so on and so forth. And, you know, there's always pressure on baseball fields because we've got 1,100 kids playing playing baseball every year. So that's what we expected to see.
Yeah.
But the number one thing on the list was walking trails. And so every park that we have coming up has some sort of walking trail component to it. Even
that's
if
great.
It's a small park like Meldrum, fantastic. We're still doing a walking loop around the exterior of that park. You know, pickleball, we know we're hearing a lot of requests for that.
Yes.
And so we are adding pickleball courts to Baker Park, which is about to go, which is already out to bid. So that should start construction in late winter. And in Meldrum, we're actually doing it as well. And then we're going to look for other opportunities.
Amazing.
Yeah, and volleyball. We had a meeting with a bunch of high school students, you know, this is why it's important to get in front of folks. Man, volleyball was huge for them.
Yeah.
And the shortage, and because we don't have a lot of gymnasiums, right? We've got so we're pushing towards that.
Well, Tim, always great to see you.
Oh, it's wonderful. And anytime you want me back, I mean, obviously I can.
Yes,
I can keep talking until you tell me to stop. So.
Well, I want to tell you, as a citizen of Effingham County and knowing just part of what you do to make this county a success, I want to thank you on behalf of the rest of the county as well on all that you do and let you know we are beyond grateful to have you in our county.
Absolutely.
Well, it's a wonderful county to be involved in, and all I can say to the folks is, you know, there's a lot of changes and coming to this county in a positive way when it comes to parks, when it comes to roads, when it comes to, you know, everything that facilities. So, people are going to really start seeing some real visible signs within the next few months.
Well, we want to see you here for a long time, and you mentioned a boat earlier. We want to see you steering that boat. No offense to the commissioners, but this is the right guy to steer that ship right here, Tim Callanan.
Thank you.
Well, you have to have that to be a happy effective county.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for everything you do for Effingham County. Mr. Will Morgan.
Hey there.
First of all, congratulations to you on your election
as
the new Worshipful Master of Springfield Lodge.
Thank you.
I know I looked on social media and you got a lot of positive reviews. I know you made your mama real proud.
I try.
You do. And she's real proud. And rightfully so. It's well deserved. But you didn't waste no time. 2 days after your election, you jumped right into a major event last night that we had downtown Springfield with Santa and Springfield. I know the look in your eyes when I walked in the back door, they were as big as a cue ball. And that was a good thing because there was a lot of happy kids in there. And I think the event went off real well. And we'll dig into that a little bit in a minute, and I'll let you elaborate on that and everything we do for the community. But, you know, I know Will. We grew up together. We've seen the best of each other. We've seen the worst of each other. And I just want to let everybody else know who Will Morgan is. So can you take a couple minutes and just tell us about who Will Morgan is?
Well, I was fortunate enough to be raised, educated right here in Effingham County. Graduated Effingham County in 1998. Played sports growing up, rec department. Played sports in high school. I enjoyed my time at Effingham County High School, as did most of my family. My father is a 1967 graduate of Effingham County. My mama was class of 72, so we got deep roots here in the county. Always, you don't realize how much it's actually home until you leave it. And I actually ventured after I graduated up north for a little bit, and you know, started a family up there, and thought that's where I belonged. And then it come time to make decisions for the education of our first child, our oldest child. And not that their school systems are bad, or it's just different. And you know, we found an opportunity to come back and raise our children in F&M County. So put our oldest child in F&M County schools. He was the first child at the New Springfield, first class at the New Springfield Elementary. And when he got middle school age, he was fortunate enough to be in the first class at the new middle school. And just speaking on the growth, I mean, we're constantly growing, and my family's experienced it, and it was a new building, but the same core values that, you know, we were seeking, and we were fortunate enough to give to our kids as well. And he's a recent graduate of Georgia Southern, and my youngest one just started ECHS this year as a freshman. And he's real active in sports and activities at school, doing real well, and we're very fortunate to be in this area to allow our children a good education. They do a good job at educating as well as instilling character and values in the schools here, and I think that's part of what draws people to this area for the school system, because they try to teach the whole person, not just math science. So that's why we love it here so much too.
Moving on to, you know, I just want to give you a chance to lay out what us Masons do. I know a lot of people on the outside of those brick walls, they see a bunch of men run into a building and run upstairs.
Right.
And they think that we got some secret plot to take over the world. When we really know we can't even agree on what the menu is going to be that night.
That's not what happens.
but I want to give you a chance as Worshipful Master, and the years that you've taken to get to that step, to just kind of let the community know what it is that we do outside of doors, as you know, not so much inside of doors, but outside of doors for the community.
Well, I'll start by saying most of what we do in those doors is talking about what we're going to do outside of those doors, which is primarily charity. And it's not just raising money to help needy families at Christmas time, or having a food drive to assist with the manor house, the filling station. That's just some of our local charities we work with. But it's if somebody needs a ramp built, if somebody becomes disabled and they need wheelchair access to their home, you know, most of the time we've got guys that'll get together and they'll volunteer their time, and most of the time we'll go around and get all the materials as well donated. So it's, you know, we show up one day with a pile of wood and some hammers and a couple of guys that almost know what they're doing, and you know, we build a ramp. And of course we recruit people that do know what they're doing, so the ramp's going to stay there, and it's gonna work. But you know, those are just some of the things we do in the community. Like I say, most of the time we're when we get done with one charitable event, we're already moving on to the next. Like we just got done with Santa in Springfield, and you know, we're still sleepy this morning from all that running around. It was a good time though. I think we were successful in giving back to the community.
Absolutely.
There were tons of smiles, happy kids, and of course if you did visit, we apologize for the chaos, but it was good chaos. It was excitement.
It was fun chaos.
It was happy kids, happy parents. Just the spirit of Christmas was in that building, around that building, and in the entire city of Springfield just lit up last night, literally.
And it didn't hurt that we had Georgia winning the SEC championship right beside Santa Claus.
That's right. Had to have the game on. There was some cheers for Santa and some cheers for the dogs all the same time. It was a good night. You know, of course, when you put something together like that, it's hectic. You know, it's hectic, especially when you're dealing with small children and a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking forward to next year already.
Yes.
It's a good time. If you get a chance to come see our Santa, absolutely do it. We have probably the best Santa around.
Oh, yeah.
His wife is the best Mrs. Claus around. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, they had probably more fun than the kids did.
They
enjoyed every second of it. And, you know, they were extremely grateful that we thought of them. And, you know, when we were finding our Santa for this year, there was nobody else we could really think that would knock it out of the park the way they did. They did a great job. We appreciate them. And it was actually a group effort. There was a couple other organizations there working with us. The F&M Assembly of Rainbow Girls, number 87, was there doing their annual bake sale they do at our lodge every year. The ladies of the Aziza Court were in charge of our kitchen last night, and they did a fantastic job with making the pancakes and making sure everybody had sausage and the syrup and the butter, and there was happy smiling faces and full bellies. So
right. That's if you commissioners ever need an emergency saw, just call these ladies from Aziza Court. They'll make it happen. Because we were in a straight panic until they showed up last night.
Oh, man. I sure am glad they showed up.
So, you know, going forward, and, you know, I'm there with you. I'm looking forward to the things that we got to get done this year. I think that we have a lot of momentum as a lodge in the community. You know, things that we've done in the past moving forward. And I think the community is now beginning to see that we're just not a bunch of men who run upstairs and
right.
plot to take over the world. Right. We're actually trying to take care of our own community.
Absolutely. Right.
And so, if you can, just tell us some of the stuff that we have coming up. And, you know, if it's not too secret, any secret events that.
Yeah. Well, we try not to keep our charitable events secret. We want everybody to be in the know so they can come out and participate and enjoy it. Coming up in February, we're going to be hosting a sportsman banquet, and it's actually going to be located here at Sewell Pines, which is a beautiful venue. If you haven't had the opportunity to come check this place out, please do. It is gorgeous. It is well put together. It's off the beaten path a little bit. It's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
But we plan to fill it. In February, it's going to be a sportsman banquet, so it's going to be an auction type.
I know we have a table, and we're looking forward to it.
Good deal. Tables are selling fast. If you know anybody to be interested, please get in touch with anybody at the Springfield
Masonic Lodge. There's only a few tables left.
It's going to be a great time. We provide a meal. It's going to be good food, good drink, good fellowship. And there's going to be lots up for bid, some great items.
Yes.
There's going to be silent auctions. There's going to be live auctions. We're going to have raffles, and it's going to be a fun-filled evening. And grab your buddies and come on.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Is there any other events that you could talk about?
Yep. After the sportsman banquet, we'll move right into our summer activities,
mm-hmm.
Which usually a lot of people travel during the summer. So we usually keep that limited to small raffles.
Yes.
We every now and again, we'll throw together a chicken dinner cook.
That's right.
So be on the lookout for us guys with these big yellow tickets or green tickets
That's
or whatever
right.
color they may be that month. Help support us, because all we do is basically funnel it to other charities. We do keep a little to pay our light bill so we can have electricity on those secret meeting nights. but basic operating costs to keep us working to do what we do.
We have a scoop.
At the end of the year, we get together and we discuss who and how, and our list always grows, how we're going to support, mm-hmm. who we're going to donate to. This year, a couple of them were the Backpack Buddies. We always take care, do the best we can to take care of the Truthland House when and where we can.
Yep, that's right.
The Manor House, the Filling Station, and
God's Mission.
So, and, you know, there's others that pop up along the way that mm-hmm. We'll start supporting, continue supporting, and we try to spread it out the best way we can to where the most need is. And like last night at Sand in Springfield, part of it was, you know, we opened our doors, put some boxes out, and we were accepting toy donations and canned foods, non-perishables. Mm-hmm. And we have a very large box full of canned goods and non-perishables. We have a large box full of toys, and we plan on distributing those where they need to go so they can get to the families in need. Mm-hmm. Before Christmas, and everything we do stays right here in F&M County. Mm-hmm. Our number one goal is our closest neighbors, our community. What our community needs is what we're going to step up and try to work on.
Right.
So, like I say, whether it be a wheelchair ramp, whether it be somebody loses their home in a fire, God forbid, floods. And of course, you know, speaking of floods, we take care of our Masonic community as well. If there's a Brother Mason in need and they live in Chatham or Pooler or South Carolina or Florida and we are able to get to them, of course, that's part of being a Freemason. We're going to do what we can to get to them and offer some sort of relief, everything that we can do. But our charitable events, like I say, stay right here in our community.
So. Speaking of charitable events here in our community, you know, me and you worked together, I think you reminded me the other night in Lodge, it was 2.5 years ago, maybe 3 years ago, we came together and we formed a fundraiser for Miles Path.
Absolutely.
You know, child Absolutely. Who had leukemia.
Yep.
And the whole community just rallied behind us. We'll mastermind this, and I'll let him weigh into it, but it was a very successful event. And I just want you to give him a little bit of, that's just one of the key right. things that we do is taking care of the community.
Right. And this will bring up another good point. You know, there's more charitable organizations in this area than a lot of people believe. Mm-hmm. We put together a poker run for a young man in the county that was diagnosed with leukemia, and I reached out to some of my fellow motorcycle enthusiasts, the guys at Abate mm-hmm. are awesome fellas, and let me tell you, if you call them and you tell them there's a need, a charity for a child, you're gonna get tons of bikers showing up. Mm-hmm. You know, the Wingmen of Effingham, another great organization of motorcycle enthusiasts that when they hear the call for a need for a child or basically anybody in distress, and it's an immediate need and we need to come together, those are good guys to call on. And that's exactly what I did for that poker run. And the word spread like wildfire.
It did.
And we had guys on bikes show up from Savannah, Wilmington Island, is Statesboro, Scriven County, all over. And we made the Brass Rail in Guyton our stopping point. And Miss Shannon McDonald, as soon as we started talking to her, there was no question that, number one, she was gonna let us use her place. And number two, you could see her light up as well. And she was on fire. As soon as we told her what we were doing, And as a matter of fact, I believe that's how I got in touch with Billy Bob from A-B. Mm-hmm. And once that happened, it was on.
It was.
And, you know, we reached out to our Shriner brothers and, you know, the guys that are in the A-League Pirate Unit. They were all on, and they said, what do you want us to do with this ship?
Yeah.
So they brought their ship, and I believe that's how the young man was delivered to the brass rails on the pirate ship.
That's right.
That was just an awesome day. The little boy forgot for a minute he was sick, and, you know, that's what we do.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I'm going to move on to you, Mr. Andy. We're out of time, but I want to give you a little bit of time to weigh in on some on last night, specifically the parade. And I know that you have a special announcement about the winners of the parade from last night. But before you announce that, can you please just, you know, I looked at you back there in your suit, in your festive suit that you had on, and you know, I just saw you back there getting into it, and when the Grinch come out, it was, I just looked back at you, and you looked like somebody screaming at the Georgia Dome at the Bulldogs. You're like, it's the Grinch, and I just got so tickled. So I want to hear your view of how the parade went last night. Social media has blew up this morning on the how well it went, and I want to give your take, because you were the commentator, you were the one being streamed live to the hospitals, to the assisted living last night, and I think you gave them a really good show, and I think that they really enjoyed that. So I want to get your take on what you saw last night.
Well, I tell you, thank you, number one, thank you for having me, and thanks to these guys to my left, really doing a great job here. But our first inaugural nighttime Christmas parade, all I can say is wow. Not only did I see it, I hear it, and I heard it today, many times today, by people that was like, you know, this is awesome. This is what Effingham County is all about. You know, I always say we're a loving community. You know, we rally behind each other. We can find common ground. We're the most common. I believe we're a common ground community that, you know, we can get things done. Yes, it was great. We got to see the boys and girls, you know, that we at one time of their age, and we got to see the excitement on them, and we got to see the camaraderie to us all. But I want to talk a little bit about the navigators and what they mean to me and what they mean to all of us at this table. And the director, Ms. Pauline Shaw, and how we have now are front and center of impacting the special needs kids. And the parents who are, you know, they have insurmountable odds sometimes to facilitate the needs of their children. And we just want to stand the gap, you know, not only with the navigators, but not only with our lodge, Springfield Lodge 440, down to our county commissioners who are giving us the pathway to help us and guide us and give us the different things that we need. And, of course, the management part of Tim over here helping us out phenomenal. But what I seen was a Effingham County strong. Mm-hmm. That's what I seen. I seen from the highways and the byways, from Madison to Ash Street. I seen from Laurel Street. I just seen people giving of themselves. My marshals, they really, for me, I was given the blessing to somewhat coordinate the parade, and what a blessing that was. And all my marshals come to bat.
They did a fantastic job.
And I want to say thanks, Tommy, and also thank you.
I enjoyed having you there helping me announce.
Well, I enjoyed it. And Frank, I must say, you know, I got energy, but I think you got just as much energy out there. What I seen was a community loving on one another. And the biggest thing that we all had a puzzle. And if you're a participant within the parade, you got a piece of the puzzle.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And the puzzle made this beautiful sign.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to remember, we are all part of that puzzle. You might look very unique looking. You might not look like you're going to fit. But let me tell you, you fit. Mm-hmm. And that's what Effingham County is about. I look forward to our second Christmas nighttime parade. If it's anything like the first one, Ms. Pauline Shaw, I think I woke up this morning to numerous messages, and she's most inspirational.
That's right.
She's an impactor. beyond measure. So I got to see with my own eyes a community just like the community in which raised Andy. It took a village to raise me. I'm an Effingham native. But in reality, it's we are all a piece of the puzzle.
All right. Before I let you announce the winners, I do want to give somebody else credit from last night, the Mickey Parker. You know, he was running the video last night, and I thought he did a fantastic job.
Absolutely.
He had it all set up, and if DR ever need a need for, you know, somebody to film some stuff, he did an excellent job last night. So
now we're going to get to our number one, number two, number three, the winners.
Right. Well, before we do that, let's tell everybody who the judges were. You know, one of them was former commissioner, Ms. Vera Jones. She was really excited to be there. They had, let me tell you, these judges had so much fun back there.
They did.
Every time I went over there, and they were set, weren't they? They had a heater on the back and a heater on the front. Yeah. And they were just nice and cozy.
All they needed was hot chocolate.
And Andy was lobbying for hot chocolate right. The whole parade.
So we had Ms. Vera Jones, former commissioner, Ms. Dee Moncrief, you know, city council lady, and you know, owner of Moncrief Square. And then we had Ms. Leslie Fields. You remember Ms. Leslie Fields? She went to high school with us. She's the owner of Blockers that's coming to District Square. And then we had Mr. Tracy Mydell, who's the owner of a Southern Cafe in Guyton.
One who fed us yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah, he fed us yesterday morning. And let me tell you, they had such a fabulous time. Every time I went over to that table, they were just having a blast. And I think they had an even more blast when the Grinch come out and stole their plaque. So,
yeah.
And also kudos to Corporal...
Philip Hutto.
Philip Hutto, he's the one who called... the Grinch when he stole the plaque. So luckily he got the plaque back. The County Sheriff's Department made sure that he was out there to protect the plaques. Mm-hmm. And I want you to tell us who the first, second, and third place winners are.
Well, the first place winner is the Ratchford firm. And we all know Warren. We all know what he means to us individually and collectively and what he does with his professionalism and how he impacts. I know behind the scenes, you can go to him in a need, and he's not a man to let the left hand know what the right hand's doing. He reminds me a lot of his father, Mr. Neil Ratchford, and so his float was number one. I think it was the most litted, and if you notice, he was incognito like he always is. He was sitting in the back, kind of crunched down, you know.
I see it back there really well.
Yeah he was.
He was having a good time though.
He was having a blast, and that's just him. So he did by hands down have the best.
Yes.
Best float.
Definitely.
And then we're going to talk about this number two. That's F&M County Development Services. Theirs was pretty good. I believe that was a gingerbread house. Is that what that was? That thing was mighty big. And I tell you what,
they were blowing up balloons all day.
I noticed that everybody just looked at that house. I don't know if we were just all hungry or we want to take a bite out of that thing. I don't know. But I say that was a fantastic float. You know, they do a lot. F&M County Services do a lot. You know, they do a lot of business license. They do a lot of permits. You know, behind the scenes, they do the code enforcement. And yes, you know what, well, we think they're our bad guys. But, you know, we got to have regulations and we got to have people who can administer it in a manner that's still respectful, civil, and then how do we move to the next issue. And so we got a great Effingham County Development Services. They come in number two. And then my favorite is really the number three. That's the young children. That's the combat baseball team, which maybe today may be amateurs in our community. They just playing ball and they enjoying themselves like we were. And they may be the amateurs, but rest assured, in this beloved Effingham County, we're going to make leaders out of them. They are our leaders of tomorrow. And they got a great coaching staff. They actually been around about 8 years now, I noticed. And I don't play baseball. I'm like Forrest Gump. I play ping pong, and that's about all I can do. You know, I was the little pocket protector in school with the, you know, I was just wasn't athletically inclined, unfortunately. Not like you, Will. I wasn't like you. But I will say these young boys soon will be men. And it's going to take a village to raise not only the generation coming, but the generation that's right here poised for us men who are in leadership and the women behind us, that we are getting prepared to pass the baton, because America's best years lies ahead.
Right.
In Effingham County, our best years continue to be ahead. As long as we bind together and we choose to impact, not impress. So congratulations to the third place combat baseball team. And but they all of them in the end, all of the floats were winners, because we chose one thing. We chose to be a puzzle to something bigger, and that's the Navigators. So thanks to them, and I think I'm finished.
Right. Thank you, Andy, for once again coming on the show and letting us know how your view from the parade. And we're going to get those plaques out this week.
Absolutely.
We'll show up and hand deliver them.
Are we going to do anything with the Grinch? Are we going to do anything with him?
We can put him in a stockade in front of the county admin building.
Okay, but
there you go.
Get that going. we'll wait to see if we get that.
Take donations up to a certain amount, and then maybe he gets out.
Maybe. All right, so guys, thank y'all so much for coming on the show today. It was a really good show. I hope that y'all will be willing to come on again. I know that through our coming up year, we're going to all be busy doing things. And there's going to be a lot to talk about in the future. So thank y'all for coming on. Yes, sir.
I'd like to say one more thing before we get out of here about Andy and his quest for some hot chocolate last night. I guess he didn't get the memo, but our fine friends at Paddles Coffee.
That's right.
Just got a new food truck
started.
Yep. And they had this massive trailer parked outside of our lodge for everybody to see, and they were giving away hot chocolate free all night long.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to go see the Kirklands, they are some of the nicest people in the world. Awesome. Very, very nice. And they did, like Will said, they stood out there and gave out hot chocolate to all those kids that were coming in. And I think they had more good time than the kids.
I talked to them.
You're not going to find many more people that love Springfield as much as the Kirklands.
That's right. Right.
He's proven that he's Mr. Kirkland is the leader. You know, he led there in Rankin, and I was so busy I did see it.
You just forgot you wanted some hot coffee.
No, I couldn't come up there for a little while.
He was too busy with his fans.
That's right.
All right, guys, we're going to finish up. Thank y'all for coming on. I hope to see y'all again.
Thank you.
Thank you for what you guys do. All right, really appreciate it.
Okay.